Hello and welcome to We Were Hit by a Horse Truck and Got Isekai'd into Equestria? I am Ponyville's beloved Princess Graceful Spark. With me as always is my darling co-horse Spilled Beans. How are you doing today, Beans?
I'm doing pretty well. I think today's gonna be quite a hoot.
And you, dear listener, your ears did not deceive you, because we are talking about Season 1, Episode 24, Owl's Well That Ends Well, written by Cindy Morrow, directed by the same people as always, original aired April 22nd, 2011. Cindy Morrow, you might recall, also wrote The Showstoppers, Winter Wrap-Up, and our Gilda episode. So, Cindy's got something of a pedigree.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised this episode doesn't have a song in it.
Yeah. What can I say to hear Spike do a little number about jealousy or something?
Yeah. Spoilers, listeners. This entire episode is about jealousy.
Yeah. Man, we got two bird episodes in three episodes. It seems high.
I mean, I'm pretty here for it. Sounds like Pemka's excited about it too, right, Bird? Oh.
Yeah. Bird good?
Yeah.
Huh? You start off with Twilight and Spike getting ready for the centennial meteor shower.
Yeah, Spike is filling his little red wagon with, I think, the only fruit we've ever seen in the library up until now. But they just had like a little hanging bowl full of fruit now. That's cool.
That's good for them. They're being healthy. Horse healthy.
Where'd they get bananas from?
Why wouldn't they have bananas?
Oh, I guess, huh?
Why wouldn't they have bananas?
It just strikes me as one of those fruit that, like, there's a certain kind of human world colonialism needed to have access to bananas. And I don't know if this world has those people even be colonized, which says a lot about this fucking world we're in.
Celestia sent fucking Royal Guard troops to establish some banana republics to make sure that Equestria has easy access to bananas.
I guess, yeah.
On behalf of the fucking horse fruit company.
Yeah. God. The free horse fruit trading company. I just made myself sad. We've probably actually seen a banana before, and I'm being really weird about them being here now, huh? Either way, they have hanging baskets of fruit in the library now for this one scene, and it never comes back again as far as I'm aware, so there we go.
Yeah, like, they go and grow apples in the middle of the desert for some reason, so maybe ponies are just really good at agriculture.
I mean, isn't that the thing earth ponies are supposed to be good at to make them not, like, shitty next to horses that can do magic and horses that can fly? Is that they're good at manual labor?
Like, it's made clear that, like, later, that earth ponies are, like, the ones that know how to grow food. So,
okay, but you could teach a unicorn how to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell, we saw Twilight trying to do it.
And yeah.
She would have been fine at it if she, she would have been fine at it if she, like, could push a plow.
Yeah. Yeah, if she wasn't under duress, she could... We've seen her, like, at the start of the season, like, harvesting an entire hillside of apples all at once.
Yeah.
With her magic and shit, like...
Yeah. No matter how you slice it, earth ponies get the short end of the stick. Either they're, like, genetically designed to be good at growing food, in which case, like, they all get sorted into lifetimes of manual labor, or this is just the lot in life they are cast to because they weren't born with wings or horns.
Yeah. God, there are a lot of horseo-economic theories going on here that I don't know how I feel about.
Yeah, I'm not really all that interested in engaging in pony phrenology, or...
Yeah.
Friendology.
Hmm.
Hmm.
I don't think Pem could like that one either.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Yeah. But yeah, he's packing a lot of stuff for this meteor shower viewing evening.
Yeah, he's all
he's
excited.
He's got a punch bowl.
Yeah, balancing the punch bowl in the wagon seems ill-advised. Like, it's glass, and the top is open.
Yeah, was always under the impression if you wanted to do some of that, you'd have the bowl and then something to carry the punch in and then combine the two once you get to your destination.
Yeah, you bring something with, like, a lid.
Yeah.
Like, it's all gonna slosh out if you take it in your wagon.
Yeah, it's a weird arrangement. Apparently he's also bringing some homemade cookies.
Yeah, which I will admit looked pretty good.
He rattled it off pretty quick, but I think it was homemade triple-decker nut crazy cream cookies?
Yeah, that sounds right. I don't know what was triple-decker about it, but they looked pretty good. Like, Pinkie Pie seemed to like them.
Yeah, I mean, okay, but Pinkie Pie also likes some very bad... We've seen her eating just, like, coal, so...
Yeah, no, that's fair.
But yeah, they seemed a popular hit, so that's interesting that Spike can do some good baking.
Yeah, like, he offers to make breakfast for Twilight later in a way that implies that he regularly makes breakfast for her.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, he must know how to cook. Good for him.
I do appreciate that Spike is well on his way to being a traditional, like, white guy dad who generally doesn't do much of the cooking, but, like, has one or two recipes you can whip out for special occasions. That seems to be his cookies.
For God's sake, I just want to grill on my own face.
Right?
But this is all building up to Twilight calling Spike her number one assistant, which is a phrase that's going to come up a lot in this episode.
Yeah. More... Listeners, you may expect me to be the person who'd be like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna do a running tally of every time that's said." Nah. Nah, I lost count. I lost count, like, after the fourth one, and that was just in the first scene. Not happening. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it doesn't help that, like, Twilight calls Spike her number one assistant, then Spike, like, "Oh, sorry, I didn't hear you. Do you repeat that?" And he gets her to repeat it, like, two or three times before she catches on.
Yeah. But, like, I do quite enjoy the two of them in this scene, though. They're, like, often we see them bickering, and it's nice to have a scene of the two of them just, like, getting along really well. The show doesn't really ever actually show how they act most of the time when they're not, you know, in main character mode.
Yeah, and it is nice seeing Spike in his element and indicating that, yeah, he does enjoy a lot of the job. He's been raised in this. It's kind of all he knows, but he does, like, take some pride in being an assistant. Like, the whole plot of this episode is that Spike puts a lot of stock in being Twilight's number one assistant.
Yeah. Like, he's grumbled about it a lot in previous episodes, but he seems to really enjoy the work, I guess. At least enjoys the praise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I suppose you'd know about that, dear.
I mean, yeah, look, yes, but also I enjoy the work. But I also don't grumble about the work all the time, either.
Well, I also don't, like, spread books all over the place just to... I know, Twilight seems like not a great librarian, but we've talked about this before.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she's not...
Yeah.
Spike is a good librarian. Twilight just happens to be the horse who lives there, so she's the librarian.
And,
Except Spike maybe isn't a good librarian, because,
Yeah.
Twilight gets him to go get a... Oh, God, what was that? It was a really long title for, like...
Yeah.
An astrology book. Astronomy book.
Yeah, they go into the meteor shower. Twilight wants her astronomy book. Spike goes and gets it. But when he's up on the ladder, he seizes in the book, incinerating the pages, and... I guess it's just regular fire that doesn't send it to Celestia?
Right? Like, I can't believe this is the first time we're having to address the concept of a dragon... in a dusty library, who, when he sneezes, breathes fire that does not teleport paper, it burns it. That or Celestia just got, like, half of all the pages, and not, like, half by volume, but half by, like, you know, 50% of every page sent to her.
Yeah, because, like...
Probably very confusing
Get the little, like... Usually when Spike, like, sends a letter, we see it, like in the intro, it, like, turns into a little wisp of smoke and flies out the window to Celestia, and we don't see that here. And also, you'd think that if Celestia, like, got a bunch of book pages, she would have been like, "Oh, you know, Spike must have sneezed on a book again. I'll just send these back."
Yeah. You'd think Twilight would have learned some sort of spell to fix books at this point that this happens to, because, like, this can't be the only time this has happened.
Yeah, like...
It can't.
I mean, you can't really fix something that's been incinerated, right? Like, I don't know, it feels like... I mean, I don't know. Twilight could fucking travel through time, as we see later. She could do whatever, but reconstructing something that's been incinerated seems a bit much. But I don't know, I'm just an Earth pony. I should get back to, fixing the toaster and growing tree.
Right? Like, fucking... But, like, am I imagining that, like, Twilight has a spell that, like, rewound and fast-forwarded an apple being bitten? So, like, it's an apple, and then, like, it's bitten down to, like, a core, then it gets reversed back to being an apple again? Am I imagining that? Or is that, like, in a later episode?
That does not ring a bell, but...
Okay. I may be stealing a scene that I remember from just, like, a completely different show? And just
but
having
also
this one detail? I don't know.
Having someone uneat an apple feels different than un-incinerating a book. If only because, like, un-incinerating a book is, like, reconstructing this information that was destroyed. And how would the spell know what the book looked like?
Okay, but, like, counterpoint, you would just be returning the, like... particles of paper and ink back
sure,
to where they were.
I can see that for, like, you know, if the book was torn up, I can see being able to reassemble that with magic, but, like, it's been incinerated. It's no longer paper and ink, it's ash. I don't know. Maybe...
Look, I'm just expecting the fucking God Queen's disciple to have a spell to fix books that have been damaged when, like, you know,
yeah,
she's living in the library now.
Who knows? Maybe she does. Like, I wouldn't know anything about magical theory. I'm not allowed to go to Princess Celestia's School for Gifted Unicorns. Yeah.
I wasn't either, but hey, here we are.
Anyway, Spicy is in this book, and he, you know, not wanting to disappoint Twilight, just, like, puts it back on the shelf where he found it, and, you know, goes and tells Twilight he couldn't find it. Maybe someone checked it out.
Yeah. For being a librarian, she does expect every book to just be there.
It does. It feels like if you're... Like, you, Spike, are the only working librarians here. You don't have other employees. It seems like if someone checked out the book, one of you would know. Like, I assume ponies don't just, like, wander into your house while you're away and grab books, Twilight. I mean, we never really see ponies checking out books, at least. I know we do later, but, yeah, we don't get that sort of thing now. Hmm. The only reason I know that is because I remember way back in the day reading a blog post or something titled Twilight Sparkle is Not a Good Librarian, you know, comparing what Twilight does to, you know, what a working librarian in the human world would do. And the only point I remember is...
Yeah.
It mentions an episode where Rarity or someone walks in and says, I need a book on blank. And the article said something like, if someone shows up at the library and says, I want a book on X, they don't necessarily want a book. They might also be open to a DVD or a CD or microfiche or whatever. And they criticize Twilight for not mentioning that. But Twilight is a horse. They don't have... I don't think her library has microfiche or CDs or DVDs or anything like that. Maybe they do. I know they have vinyl records in this universe. They have arcade machines. Maybe they do have CDs and shit.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there was that, like, there was the time Twilight stole our fucking podcasting equipment, but, like, the fact that she knew what it was, like, she didn't know how to use it correctly, I guess, but, like, the fact that she recognized it as machinery for that would imply that, like, that technology does exist.
Yeah, and, yeah. Hmm.
Worrying. Yeah. For you listeners at home who do not watch the show... yes, we are still before the, you know, credits, like, opening roles. This is still just the opening scene we're on right now. It's been very existential dread, apparently.
Well, so Spike sees it in the book, he puts it back, and then we cut to the intro. And then when we come back, Spike and Twilight are ascending the hill to watch the meteor shower, and they're talking about, oh, maybe someone checked out the book. Which, again, it seemed like one of you would know.
Yeah. You'd think. Sorry, I had lost, like, stopped paying attention to their conversation, because, I mean, there were a lot of ponies there, and, A large number of them were sitting kind of like cats, but none of them were loafing. Not a single loaf to be found in the entire evening. Frustrating, to say the least.
It is very cute watching you go around with your little clipboard, like, playing loaf census.
Look, it's the one job I take seriously that isn't related to making coffee, doing this podcast, or, you know, the kinky stuff. So,
We should get you a little hat that says Loaf Inspector.
Okay, but then, like, Pinkie Pie is gonna get me to, like, look at the bakery, and that's spending more time around Pinkie Pie than I really want to do.
Yeah, that's fair enough. What about a sash? Can horses even wear sashes? I don't think that would work out.
Oh, yeah.
Or no.
You just, like, put it over the shoulder, and it just have to be, like, a bit of a tight sash, rather than, like, the more loose-hanging ones. But yeah, you could definitely get that going.
Official loaf head.
Yeah, that's me. And I hunger. They do not satiate my thirst for loaf.
Feed her the loaf!
Right?
Anyway. So, we're up on the hill, waiting for the meteor shower to start. You know, Spike's, like, laying out the spread. Apparently he didn't spill any of the punch, so fuck me, I guess.
Yeah, impressive. Especially with the fucking incline that cart had to go up at the end.
Yeah, so, yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, who are we horses to judge how a dragon stores his punch? I guess.
Well, what does the fucking t-shirt and Forb signature, just ancient joke, go? Do not meddle in the affairs of dragons, for they know how to transport a punch bowl better than you.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds right.
But, Spike's laying stuff out. Twilight remarks on what a good assistant he is. And Rainbow Dash says something like, oh, I wish I had someone to do whatever I asked, and Scootaloo is just right there to volunteer to sub for.
Yeah, Scootaloo, please wait until you're of a more consenting age before you try and do that, but also, Rainbow Dash, good job being like, I mean, here I was trying to pretend I have Dommy energy, and the kid piped in, so I'm just gonna ask her to take my garbage away, so we can all move away from this awkward moment.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, Scootaloo has some self-respect, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's, there's a lot of takes about the tightrope walk of sub-eagerness, but, you know.
I think I walk it perfectly, but that's me.
Yeah, no, you're very good and pettable, dear. Plus, like, we're already in a relationship, so, like,
yeah. You know,
the barrier is lower than just, like, throwing yourself at the first person who exhibits dominance, and, like, Scootaloo already admires Rainbow Dash, she would not do this with someone else, so I think it's more Scootaloo, like, wearing her admiration on her sleeve, so to speak.
She doesn't wear sleeves, but yes.
On her leg.
On her cutie mark to be. Her cutie mark will just be a heart around Rainbow Dash's face.
She's wearing her admiration on her
ass.
There
we are. Oh, fuck.
And then Rarity remarks on what a good spread Spike laid out, and they all gather around in a circle to appreciate Spike.
Yeah, they
you know, Pinkie Pie, like, pets him really good.
Yeah. There's some very cute, like, praise kink stuff going on here. It's great.
Yeah, Spike's little fang pokes out when he's getting praised, and that's very cute.
Yeah, like, I kind of wish we had more of this Spike, actually, like, on screen.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. As much as he's, like, the boy in the room, he's also, like, the baby dragon and the younger brother thing. So, like, having him actively enjoying being, like, part of the group, even if he's not, like, technically part of the main six, I kind of wish we had more of it. It's cute. I like it.
Yeah, like, there was some cute stuff where, like, or he's like, ah, stop. No, I didn't really mean stop. Keep going. When he's getting praise, it's cute. And Rarity's like, ah, Spike, I made this bow for you, and she gives it this big red bow tie, like, covered in gems.
Yeah.
And remember this bow tie. It'll come back later, and I have a theory about it.
I do appreciate that, like, the bow tie does, like, scoot up around his snout, too. It's very adorable.
And, he does, like, Oh, go on, go on. All right, Twilight, your turn. She's like, Spike, that's enough. Yeah.
All right, Spike, we get it. You're pushing the scene a little hard, my dude.
And he takes the hand.
Which again, like, and then, good.
Yeah, he's doing good. And then we pull back. Oh, the meteor shower is starting, and they dump a lot of background ponies here. I think there was a point where we got separated, and, well, a little behind the scenes here, a little inside Grace's balls. When I get separated from Beans, I always say, like, okay, we'll meet up at Bon Bon.
Yeah.
Well, there's two Bon Bons here, so we both look like dinguses.
Yeah, it was very confusing. Mm-hmm. God, it is convenient that she's just always... Oh no, is she also here? Are Bon Bon and Lyra a pair that got isekai'd in as well and are also doing a podcast like us?
I mean, that would explain why Lyra sits like that, but...
But they get to be...
That doesn't explain why they're in the show, but we're not.
It's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy, I tell you!
Did they get hit by a horse truck, like, way back in 2009 or whatever?
Oh, that's concerning.
I hope they got out.
Yeah, same, jeez. Maybe we'll have to try and drop some subtle hints at them and see if it has any effect.
Yeah, wait, but if they got isekai'd before us, but we're here now, we got hit in 2022, how are they also here now?
Because they got isekai'd into the show. We're like, in human worlds, where we got isekai'd from, the show had already been, been published, it feels like the wrong word.
Yeah, aired, broadcast, put out.
Like, a decade ago, but, like, we're living through the situation now. There's some weird time travel shit going on already.
Yeah, fair enough.
This is some concerning lore we're introducing.
We got hit by the time truck and isekai'd back in time? Wait, all right. We got hit by the time truck and isekai'd into the past? There we go.
How many Magic School Bus episodes is that? It's gotta be, like, 8 at least.
Well, I don't remember any episodes where Miss Frizzle runs over the kids with the bus.
Okay, but maybe we just don't see that part.
Well, they get in the bus. She even says seatbelts, everyone. Do they fasten their seatbelts for the cameras and then get out and get hit by the bus?
No. Getting hit by the bus is how they get in it. The body cannot enter Miss Frizzle's bus. The magic school bus is only for the souls of the people it ran over.
Well, but the bus has a face. Are they getting vored?
Yes.
Is getting on a bus vore?
Only if it's one of those slinky bendy buses. Don't ask me why. I cannot explain.
If you get out through the front door, it's soft vore. If you get out through the back door, it's hard vore.
Correct. Which means every good bus rider is hard vored. It better be a not very crowded bus, or you're a fucking asshole getting out of the front. Anyway.
Yeah. So... the shower starts, and Spike is on Twilight's back, and he falls asleep.
Yeah, it's almost like he's a baby dragon.
A baby dragon!
Yeah.
And, also, I thought it was very cute how Sweetie Belle stands on Rarity's back and Apple Bloom stands on Applejack's back.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of, Applejack doesn't get any lines in this episode, so you can see why people call her a background pony.
Yep. I think she was in on the, like... group praising of Spike, but like, yeah. Oh, Scootaloo does spend some time staring at Fluttershy's ass, which, you know what? Valid.
Yeah, good for her. Scootaloo does not get to stand on top of Rainbow Dash.
Yeah, that's exactly why, is Scootaloo has to stand in a way that definitely makes her look like she's just staring at Fluttershy's ass, which, again, kid, maybe grow up a bit more before you're doing that, but also, good taste.
And, so Spike falls asleep on Twilight's back, but she doesn't seem to notice. I guess she's, like, if I were staring at a meteor shower, I would get distracted, too. I kind of wish I could be staring at the meteor shower, like, go hang out with Starry and them, but, well, we have work to do, duty calls.
Yeah. As far as I know, this is the only time a meteor shower episode happens. But, like, especially with how low the light level is at night, because there isn't, like, electrical lights everywhere. They might be more visible.
Yeah, Ponyville's a low light pollution environment. Yeah. Like, you know, sometimes I'll just, you know, go outside at night, look at the stars, appreciate the dome of the heavens.
Yeah, my point was more that, like, this is the only one that happens in an episode. So the next time one comes down, we can just go and enjoy it, rather than having to,
yeah,
you know, be taking notes along the way.
Yeah. But long story short, the meteor shower ends, Twilight asks Spike to fetch some punch, and Spike has fallen asleep in the punch bowl, which gives us the immortal line where Pinkie Pie says, "Oh no, the punch has been spiked!"
Which, damn. Pinkie Pie gets some good lines, and this is one of them. That one actually made me laugh.
Yeah, there's some good jokes in this episode, I forgot. Like, that's a good one. There's one that always makes me laugh later on, but this is a good one.
Yeah, this episode's had, like, a good, not only a good pile of jokes, but, like, a good pile of jokes that, like, are callbacks to jokes in the same episode. Which is a nice touch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then, I think after that, we're back at the library.
Yeah.
Where, yeah. Twilight has put Spike to bed, one assumes, and, Twilight is just, like, in her room, writing out the Wikipedia article for Comets.
Yeah.
When, long story short, a breeze happens and blows her scroll away, and she completely forgets she has telekinesis and just lets it float away.
Yeah, and then she, like, insists that Spike should be the one to get it?
Yeah, she's like, oh, this is a job for Spike. Like, what, is he gonna run after it? Do you often set him to, like, go chase down scraps of paper that escaped?
Like, she does a really cute, like, sort of prancy panic dance when she sees it go out the window, but, like,
yeah,
like, Twilight, you have the magic to be able to levitate a giant bear, play music, and also milk cows you do not have line of sight to simultaneously. You have the power to snag a piece of paper out of the air.
Yeah, like, Twilight forgets she can teleport and is telekinetic.
Yeah.
Which, normally, like, you know, that would be excusable, but we see that Twilight teleports more when she's anxious.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Yeah. But that's all set up. She has to forget she's telekinetic so that a friendly owl can grab the paper and bring it to her. And that's how Twilight makes friends with Owlicious.
Yeah, what a fucking name.
Yeah, the funny thing is that, like, there's quite some disagreement as to how to spell the name.
Oh, I can imagine. I had to spend some time, like you look at my notes here, like, I took, like, 6 different stabs at it before just deciding for Owlicious.
Yeah, yep.
Look, if you're gonna have a portmanteau name in your show, you better have it, like, credit your voice actors, for one, and two, give us the way you've decided to spell the pun name so that, like, people don't fucking type it wrong when they're trying to talk about your good character.
Yeah, like, a quick glance through the fourth wall at the My Little Pony wiki says, like, suggests, like, 3 or 4 different spellings. Or possibly even 5.
Oof. Do not like it.
Yeah. Though, also the wiki points out that Aloysius' character design stands out from other males in the series for having pronounced eyelashes. And is Aloysius a femboy?
I mean, note to self, when I'm having to draw some weird fan art, femboy Aloysius, top of the list, understood. The thing that was really, like, getting me about his eyes is that he blinks, like, unsynced. Like, it's a left-right sort of situation, mm-hmm, rather than simultaneous. Which, isn't a thing. Like, yeah, mm-hmm, owls have 3 sets of fucking eyelids because birds are insane. But, really?
Yeah, and it's, like, I think it's part of, like, how, so, throughout the episode, the cinematography keeps, like, implying that Aloysius is, like, somehow creepy or sinister.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because of, like, the way owls turn their heads all the way around or, like, or whatever.
Yeah, and like when he's first being introduced, there's like fucking horror music going, and they're doing the like the only time gradient lighting comes in, which is when they're trying to be very dark and mysterious. To be fair though, when Twilight sees him do it, she just doesn't react. She's just like, "Oh, that's yeah, thanks, hi, bud," and he just turns his head around. He's like, "She's like, yeah, hi."
And so Twilight makes friends with the bird, and we cut to the next morning where Spike, like, his alarm clock goes off at 10 a.m. And he's like, he like rushes out of bed like, oh, I overslept. Twilight, I'm sorry, I overslept. Can I make you oatmeal or a sunflower smoothie or grass pancakes?
A sunflower smoothie does actually sound very good, though.
Well, I can make them tomorrow, dear. I'll have to get the blender working tonight, but
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I can handle some whirling blades.
I mean, yeah, if there is one pony in town I would trust with them, it's you.
Aww. Okay.
Extremely. But I'm also just thinking about any of the main six with a machine with whirling blades, and all of those are very concerning to me, except for maybe Rarity? But now I'm thinking about Rarity making pancakes or smoothies or something, and I don't think that would go very well.
No. Rarity doesn't seem like... I mean, maybe she could make a smoothie for herself. It seems... I feel like it would insult Rarity to imply she couldn't make a smoothie for herself, but, you know, it's a different kind of thing. I certainly wouldn't trust her to repair a blender.
Yes, that is fair. But just, like, Rainbow Dash with a blender sounds like a bad plan. Pinkie Pie with a blender sounds horrible. I think Applejack would just be upset that the blender would be changing how she does things.
Yeah.
Twilight would find some way to make it sentient, and that's horrifying.
Good news, every pony, I've made the blender alive.
Right? Just like the plow. And, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think Fluttershy would just, I don't know, put the blender on a shelf and pretend it's not there.
Yeah, I think she would turn on once, get spooked by the sound, and then, like, no thanks, I don't need this, I'm good.
So I guess in that front, I do trust Fluttershy with a blender, because she would not want the blender.
This is not the Pliance of Honor. No highly esteemed mush is commemorated here.
Damn, I really do want a smoothie, though. Yeah, well, let's make sure we get that blender fixed. Okay.
So, Spike's, like, really eager to, like, make breakfast and, like, make sure his chores are done and help Twilight with whatever she needs to do, and... Twilight's like, oh, it's like, oh, no, don't worry about it, Spike. Aloysius took care of it. And Spike has this, like, really, like, good face of, like, who? Like, his eyes squint all weird, and his palm is out.
Yeah. This episode also has a lot of really good Spike expressions.
Yeah, he's very expressive in this episode, which I do appreciate.
Yeah, like, this is a banger of a Spike episode for people who just enjoy his character and how animators mess around with him.
Yeah, because, like, this is Spike's, like, first real episode.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty good one. He gets a lot to do. He learns, like, a pretty reasonable friendship lesson.
Yeah.
I will admit that a lot of the plot relies on him not knowing what an owl is or how owls work, but he's a baby dragon. He's never seen one before. That's reasonable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a little... But, like... They've lived in Ponyville for a while now.
Yeah, but he's always asleep at night.
Okay, but, like, I knew what owls were before I ever saw one.
Yeah, and we touched on this last time with the fucking city pony who doesn't know what the fuck a rooster is.
Yeah, that's fair, okay. But that could still be him just being a piece of shit about it, which would be weird.
Yeah. Because, as we see in, like, this next scene, like, Twilight's heading out, and she suggests that Spike, like, hey, Spike, get to know your new, you know, Aloysius. He's the new guy. Like, go talk to him. Go make friends.
Yeah, the understudy assistant or whatever?
Yeah, assistant number two.
Yeah, basically.
And, the night shift.
Mm-hmm.
And, because, like, it's... a lot of this episode could have been, not necessarily averted, but, like, if Twilight had said, like, he's an owl, he's nocturnal, your shifts won't usually overlap. But, I don't know, I feel like Spike could have still had pretty much the same reaction regardless, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But, you know, Spike goes to, like, talk to Aloysius, and, like, he is greeted with Aloysius, like, turning his head around like owls do.
Yeah.
And he is creeped out. Which, again, Spike, that's just what owls do. He's not doing it to creep you out. He's an owl.
Yeah, like, this is just an owl, my dude. Like, I do appreciate, at least, that, like, quite often when a show uses an owl for the, you know, who joke, it's like a one or two go, and then the person who's being pranked by an owl saying who figures it out. Spike?
Yeah.
Spike never figures it out. It just keeps like that, happening.
Like, arguably the plot of the episode is kicked off by, like, Spike not knowing that who was just, like, the sound owls make. And he thinks Aloysius is fucking with him.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the start of their animosity here.
Which seems completely one-sided. Like, Spike is getting very frustrated with this owl just sitting there and hooting at him.
Yeah. Because, yeah. He's like, I'm Spike. Who? Me, I'm Spike. Spike does get a very good, like, kind of whatever face where he, like, you know, puts the backs of his hands to the ceiling and, like, shakes his head back and forth. I thought that was cute.
It's very close to, have you heard about video games? And have you heard about assistant dragons?
Have you said whatever to video games?
Have you been jealous of a video game owl?
But the thing about this exchange that got a laugh out of me was, like, at some point, I forget how the exchange goes. It's, but last thing Spike really says is, like, ah, man of mystery, eh?
Yeah, like, Spike's trying real hard to, like, even though he's getting, like, frustrated, he's trying to, like, still trying to be friendly with this owl, at least for the start.
Mm-hmm.
Does get the lovely thing of, like, ah, yeah, I've got eyes on the back of my head too, buddy, and just walks straight into a door while saying that.
Yeah, and, and that was funny. At least it was, like, it's a gag you can do, like, it. But Aloys doesn't have eyes in the back of his head. He's an owl. His head just swivels.
Yeah, Spike's an idiot. Like, I love him, and this episode's very kind to him, except, damn, Spike's an idiot.
Yeah, like, it is a little frustrating that the entire plot hinges on Spike, like, not knowing what an owl is, which I think kind of weakens it a little bit. Like, I think you could have written a perfectly serviceable episode about jealousy and feeling like you're being replaced, because I empathize with Spike here. I've been in his shoes. I fucking get it, man.
Oh, yeah.
I get the shitty feeling that this nest in your stomach when you're jealous of someone or, like, worried that you'll be replaced or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I get that, my guy. I empathize with you. And I feel like we could have gotten that without Spike having to not know what an owl is.
Yeah. He could just know what an owl is. Like, it's time to rewrite the episode, brain, but, like, no, we'll come back to it later. We'll come back to it when more gets revealed. But, like, I think there is a better version of this episode. And, like, it already is an okay episode. But, like, metatextually a better version of this episode exists. And we'll get to that later.
Yeah. Yeah. So Spike storms out to, like, go win Twilight's Love back or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we see Aloysius in silhouette with his eyes glowing as Spike slams the door.
Yeah. Yeah, they really do try hard to make owls seem spooky.
Mm-hmm. Which, like, I don't know, it's weird. Like, it kind of falls flat, partially because, you know, I've seen this episode before, and I know, like, how it goes. But also, like, I don't know, Aloysius is never, like, menacing.
Yeah. Yeah, like, he's nothing but, like, helpful and present. That's it.
Yeah. Like he... Yeah, like, Spike thinks he's being antagonized, but, again, the owl just said, just hooted at him, because that's what owls do. Like, when Spike get into an argument with a dog over the best baseball player of all time because the dog kept saying, roof? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
So then we cut the Spike, like, in a tree reading about owls, which... Okay, so... Does the symbol on the book cover seem familiar to you? This is, like... I don't know, this is like the camera starts all zoomed in on it, and like, I swear I've seen this before, but I don't know like what it could mean.
The only thing it looked like to me was like a hieroglyphic style, like for like the like sort of hawk heads like stuff. Like it's, I don't know. Like, I don't, it definitely felt like the episode was like, hey, do you remember this symbol? But like, nah, fam, yeah. We don't. Was it a weird Harry Potter reference they were making at the time? Because, like, that would be timely and acceptable at that point in history.
I don't think so. Like, I remember seeing that, like, that image, but, like, it was in, like, a porn video a million years ago. So who fucking knows?
Maybe they're making that reference. I doubt that one, but, like, still.
No. I don't know. Maybe they got it from, like, the same thing online. I don't fucking know.
Mm.
I don't know. If you, dear listener, recognize this, the symbol on Spike's book, please write in at owl@isekai.horse. This is gonna bug the hell out of me.
Yeah. Yeah, please let us know.
But, so Spike's up in the tree reading, and, the main six are down below, like, just talking about Aloysius and, you know, appreciating him while he sits on Twilight's back, which, it's weird that he's awake right now, like, because, is it the whole point that he's nocturnal?
Yeah. Yeah, like, that was the thing that was bothering me, was, like, fucking let this boy rest. Like, there are six ponies, like, hovering around him while he's trying to sleep. This is bad for the bird.
Yeah, like, and again, I think that could have diffused a lot of the tension, which, again, can't happen at this point, but... Yeah, I think it would have diffused the tension if Spike saw, oh, he's an owl, he sleeps during the day. But, like, I guess Aloysius gets to pull it all day, or...
Yeah, what? His first fucking day on the job, I guess. Ugh.
Yeah, weird situation.
Yeah.
But, so all the ponies are, like, gathered around Aloysius, saying, you know, talking about what a good bird he is. Rarity gives him a big red bejeweled bow tie, identical to the one she gave Spike.
Yeah.
So I suspect Rarity is just like, I suspect Rarity is just trying to offload these.
Yeah. She made like an order of like 100 of them ages ago, and whoever she did it for never picked them up. So now she just like finds reasons to hand them out.
Yeah. So when we get our clothes for the Grand Gallop and Galadeer, don't let her stick us with any.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely not. Not going to be doing that, no. Any of those bows show up, they're going right back into her possession.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I like a nice bow. I love a ribbon, I love a big bow.
Yeah.
But I'm on to her game.
These are also, like, it's Rarity, so they're fucking bedazzled as well.
Yeah, they're these, like, big red bow tie things just, like, covered in gems. And she's like, oh, Aloysius, I made this for him. No, you didn't, Rarity. You have a big box of these at home that you've been trying to get rid of for years.
Yeah, like, I appreciate that you're trying to give, like, shiny things to the helpful people. Cool, great. But, like, don't go lying to them about it.
Yeah, you're not slick.
Yeah.
And the...
Rarity will age 30 years and then complain about the, like, generation expecting everyone to get trophies, not considering who handed out the trophies.
Everyone these days expects a participation bow tie.
Yeah. But Rarity, you are the one handing out the bow ties.
The ponies these days with their avocado horse toast.
Yeah. Like... As one of the many kids who, like, got dragged into, you know, congratulations, you're 10, your parents are gonna make you play soccer on, like, whatever local fucking community center team there is, like, I occasionally did get some, like, participation ribbons or whatever, and yeah, my response to participation ribbons was, wow, this is garbage, I'm literally gonna just go home and throw this out, I can't believe you wasted money on this.
Yep, not a lot of school field days, they gave me a participant ribbon or whatever that, yeah, I didn't want to be at field day in the first place, but whatever.
Yeah. Fuck it. Like, I understand why first, second, and third get accolades, and I kept a third place ribbon I had for a while, because again, I got dragged into a lot of weird community activity shit. Held on to that, because that at least had some value to it. Ugh. Fucking boomers. Anyway.
So, Spike leaves in a huff, and Fry's like, oh, what's gotten into him? Fluttershy's like, oh, maybe he's jealous. And Fluttershy just, like, says the exact plot of the episode.
But, like...
Oh, maybe he feels threatened or worried that Aloysius will replace him.
But, like, Rainbow Dash also basically says the plot as well, just a little less directly. And, like, Rainbow Dash is the first one to think about it and gets it right. Like, damn, that's impressive. Rainbow Dash is usually the not-so-socially observant one.
Yeah, like, Rainbow Dash is, in a few seasons, gonna get two episodes in a row where she learns that reading is fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, she gets this one right away, where, like, it's not, like, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah. Like, the fact that Rainbow Dash is just, like, completely on the ball, and then Fluttershy is just also 100%, like, both these ponies know exactly what's going on and say it directly, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Twilight's like, oh, Spike knows he's special to me. Yeah, I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah.
And, like...
he knows he can't be replaced. Just fucking smash cut to Spike storming away saying, oh, they're trying to replace me.
Yeah, and, like... Which is, like, also good advice, right? Like, people don't know what you're thinking. Billy Joel sang about this in 1983 with his hit song, Tell Her About It.
Right?
Like, yeah. People don't know how you feel about them unless you tell them.
Yeah, you just gotta actually say things. Communication.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt to reassure people, even if you think they know how special they are to you. Like, it never hurts. And that goes both ways. Like, normalize asking someone, hey, we're cool, right? Or, you know, is something up or whatever?
Yeah, normalize checking in on how your friends are doing. And, like, normalize telling them how much they mean to you. Like, I fucking love getting occasional messages and stuff of just like, hey, I just... No, shit. No, that's breaking kayfabe. Aw, fuck.
Aw.
I love hearing from some ponies that, like... They're like, hey, and, you know, it's nice to get coffee from you, and, like... Good to see you around and stuff. Like, it's nice to hear people just... You know, thinking about you, and... Yeah. Check in on your friends.
Yeah, and... Exactly, and, like... Again, Twilight has to... not get this in order for the episode to go on, but it's also, like, realistic, I would say.
Yeah.
For, like, other ponies to notice this, and for Twilight to, you know, oh, Spike knows how much he means to me. I'm sure it's fine. And, as Billy Joel said in 1983, tell her about it, or tell him about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's entirely possible nothing is wrong, but you won't know unless you talk about it.
Yeah. Like, you called him your number one assistant, but just, like, that kind of felt like a bit of a joking thing.
Yeah.
Communication. Anyway,
Yeah. Thank you for coming to Princess Grace's BJ Corner, which of course stands only for Billy Joel and not for anything else.
Ah, yes. That's a different corner.
Yeah. I have two BJ corners and you can't mix them up.
Yeah. One usually has me in it looking embarrassed.
Yeah, you can't be embarrassed in the Billy Joel corner. Well, you can, because if you're embarrassed and you talk about it, that's fine.
Exactly. Also, I can't think of a single Billy Joel song off the top of my head, because me and musicians.
Piano Man was probably his biggest hit.
Alright. Like, I'm sure if I heard Piano Man, I'd be like, yo, okay, yeah, I know this song. But, like,
Well, I guess here it would be called Piano Horse. Piano Mare. Sing us a song, you're the Piano Man.
Okay, alright, yes, thank you. Alright, I know who we're talking about now. At least, I know that one song.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's just like, I can vaguely recognize the name of, like, older musicians, or just musicians that, like, I know of, but, like, haven't you know, hard dived onto their albums for like, and like listened to like an entire album like eight times in a row. Like, that is the only way I will ever be like, this artist and this name of the song is this audio in my brain. Like, all three of those get completely separated unless I've, you know, fixated on it for a while.
Huh. In that case, I will simply have to make more BJs. Billy jokes. Billy Joel jokes.
Fuck! They're bokes.
I'll have to make more bokes.
Ah.
Ah.
Cursed.
Alright.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, so we cut to, you know, Twilight needs a book, and yeah, Twilight needs a book. Aloysius beats Spike to it because it's way up high, and Spike needs to like go get stuff and balance on a bunch of books on a chair, which, what, there's no ladder? You'd think that, like, you'd have a ladder for reaching the high-up books.
Yeah, I mean, he got, like, a shorter ladder, and had to put, like, five books on top of it to be able to reach. But
get him a longer ladder, Twilight.
But he usually, like, we see him with a longer ladder. Like, I think even at the start of this episode, he had a longer ladder. He was at the top of that ladder when he sneezed and fucking burned the book.
Yeah. Maybe he was rushing to be Aloysius to the punch, which, why is Aloysius awake?
Yeah.
Or is it, like, or I guess Spike falls asleep at the end? Oh, no, no, it's the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Why is Aloysius awake?
I don't know.
Like, I can maybe see, like, have, like, you know, introducing him to your friends, but he should be in bed after that.
Yeah, like, this is absolutely when Aloysius should be asleep. But having that would mean that, you know, all the tension in the episode would go away.
Yeah, which, like, it's weird that the episode, like, trades on Spike not knowing what an owl is, and we're kind of expected to understand that he's being ridiculous, but also expects us to pretend we don't know how owls work because he keeps being awake during the daytime to show up Spike.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And then Twilight says, OMG, I need a different book.
Yeah.
What does OMG stand for, Twilight? What does the G stand for?
Oh my...
Where's your god, Twilight?
Oh my grace! Full spark.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe she is probably talking about me. I'm pretty great.
Yeah. I mean, you put it in your name and everything.
Yeah, and I've definitely set...
Grateful spark.
Yeah. And I've definitely had started saying, oh my god, and then had to cut myself off, and... Oh my grace. So maybe she picked up on that.
Yeah. Oh my Celestia.
I've heard people say that. I think mostly in like fanon more than like...
Yeah.
Maybe ponies say that too. I don't know.
I don't think we've ever seen any of the actual ponies. Like...
Yeah.
That sounds like the kind of thing a professional writer would put down, look at, and then erase. Like,
yeah.
I put it in text once. It sucked.
Yeah, it's something you see a lot. You would see a lot in like fanfic.
Yeah,
and I remember back in the day when I would roleplay as Princess Motherfucking Luna. I would say "Oh my me" sometimes.
Oh, but that's a very good flex, though.
Yeah, that was fun.
Any deity who is willing to be like "Oh my me" is extremely good.
Ah, me, damn it!
Yeah,
I forgot my space keys.
I can't remember what like there was some. You know, animated thing someone had made, or I don't know, it's been a while. But it did have Jesus in it saying, oh my dad, once, and that was amazing. I think I've only seen that joke used once, and it was very good.
Ah, dad, damn it.
Yeah.
But, you know, Twilight is writing something, and her quill breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, that was my last quill, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Spike shows up right at Twilight's side like, yes, sir, I'm gonna get another quill. Which, Spike is a fan of the gender-neutral sir, I see.
Yeah, which, you know...
And I guess Twilight is too.
Yeah, valid.
Hmm.
Wait, did Scootaloo use the... Like, because I think when Rainbow Dash gave Scootaloo some garbage to get rid of, she also said yes, sir, there, too.
No, she said yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Ah, Rainbow Dash does not like being misgendered, understood. Or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I get, right? Like...
Yeah.
I have to be in a very specific mood to appreciate sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's the constant wavering between it's good to make words gender neutral, and also, damn, it sucks that English assumes masculine is gender neutral.
Yeah, and I always have to dodge whenever I get called sir over the, well, whenever I used to get called sir over the phone, back before I got e-guided to this phoneless land, I would make a joke about, like, oh, I have to gender shift to butch, like the ship in Ikaruga, so I can absorb the sir instead of being hurt by it.
Yeah. Yeah. My response is usually to just go, like, harder femme on it instead, to try and make them feel awkward about having said the wrong gender pronoun without me directly responding. Just, like, really push the voice much more femme in response to being sirred, to really drive home that they're being a bit of an asshole.
Like, I try not to, like, hold it against folks over the phone, even though, like, usually they're looking at my name when they call me. Like, how... I have a story about this, but I will not get into it because it's not really relevant, but...
Yeah, no, I getcha. I got a few as well. It's almost like we're trans in a shitty world.
Yeah. Well, used to be.
Yeah, we're in a better
Fortunately,
one
now. We got hit by that truck.
Yeah.
So Spike goes all over the place looking for a quill, and he just, like, starts going through drawers and finds, like, a horseshoe and Twilight's trans pride saddle blanket thing.
Yeah. Which, like, cool, good. Love to see it, but also.
Yeah. Yeah. He, like, looks in the shower and finds Aloysius washing his hair?
Yeah. That was a weird vibe.
Yeah. So, A, Spike, why would there be a quill in the bathtub? And also, Aloysius, why are you awake and bathing?
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I know what weird. A wet owl looks like. And, spoilers, folks. Owl is mostly fluff. If you plucked an owl and plucked a hawk, it would be kind of hard to tell the difference, except for, like, how big the eyes are.
Yeah, like, because Aloysius isn't wet, which is because he's standing on, like, a perch, standing in the bathtub, and the bathtub is full of, like, water and suds, and also his hair is, like, covered in shampoo, like, the top of his head is shampooed, which, I don't know, you're the bird head. Does shampoo work on feathers?
I mean, it depends on the bird, but I don't think owls are the kind of bird you'd consider doing that with. Like, for the most part, no. Like,
Oh, wait, no, sorry. He's wearing a shower cap. My mistake.
Even more confusing, then.
Yes.
There's nothing
What's on
special
your head?
About the bird, like, head feathers. That's not...
Yeah, because it's not even over his eyes, as would kind of make sense.
Yeah.
What, do you not want your bird eyebrows wet, Aloysius?
Seriously.
But yeah, Spike goes running all over town, and we cut to my favorite joke of the episode, where Spike is like, what do you mean you're all out? The store is called Quills and Sofas. You only sell two things. And the guy is like, sorry, all out of quills till Monday. Want a sofa?
Yeah. His cutie mark is also a quill and a sofa. Like, damn. Yeah. Also, like, he's an exceptionally lanky pony. And, he is every single employee of a furniture, store I've ever had to go into.
Yeah, like, he's got the right haircut and a little, like, vest thing.
Yeah.
Like, a little, like, collared shirt and vest and name tag, which is weird because he presumably owns the store. Like,
yeah.
I imagine he's Quills and Sofa's only employee.
Yeah, and he also does the thing of, like, ah, I see you're here for a thing that you're very specific about. What if I try and drastically upsell you?
Yeah, like, he's... I get it, right? Like, he's... Yeah, he's trying to make the best of a bad situation, which is... It's funny. It's... it gets a laugh out of me every time.
Yeah. Yeah. He's also just, like... So, his body language is so apologetic about it,
Yeah, because, like, if your special talent is selling quills and sofas, and the store is called Quills and Sofas...
Yeah, and you're out,
and you're
of,
out
quills.
Of quills. That's gotta be humiliating for you, like, that's gotta suck.
Yeah. That should get you banished to the moon.
Because, like, Spike is on the head, right? Like, you only sell two things. He looks like, yeah, I know, I'm sorry I couldn't keep it in stock. Like, you know, he looks genuinely upset about it.
We sell a lot of quills. Ponies keep breaking them. They're quills.
Yeah, they're just feathers.
Yeah.
No, but yeah.
Yeah. That seems to be what the episode thinks, given that, like, Spike gets a chicken feather and, like, that's good.
The thing is, like, you have to, like, do some trimming of the actual, like, feather, and ideally you'd have a specific nib you'd put on it instead. And, like,
yeah.
When Twilight held up her broken quill, it was, like, the nib section of it that was broken.
Yeah.
So, like...
Yeah, but then, yeah, which is weird given what happens later, but regardless.
Yeah.
So that Spike, like, goes to Pinkie Pie's, and he's like, hey, do you have a quill? No, I have this... It looks like a pear, but it's not a pear.
Yeah, like a quinoa or something?
No, a quinoa is something, but it's a...
Quinoa's a different thing that what? Comes out in this, but yeah, it's... Yeah, it's some... It's...
A quince. A Q-I-N-C-E.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And Spike's just like, no, I don't want a quince, and just kicks it off... just off into the fucking bushes. I want a quail.
And Pinkie Pie, like, a quail? And she gives him a quail, which you think would solve his problems. Apparently any old feather will do.
Yeah.
But, no, he doesn't want the quail. And she's like, a quilt? A quesadilla? A quiche?
Yeah, she really starts butchering how to pronounce some things. But
yeah, and so he's like, no, I don't want a quiche. But he does keep the quiche, and the quiche does sound good.
It does.
We should do quiche tonight.
Yeah.
There is an old, like, book that got memed on back in the day. And by memed on, I mean, like, back in, like, the 60s?
Oh.
Called Real Men Don't Eat Quiche.
What? No, it wasn't called that. That can't be real.
Oh, it absolutely was. And don't get me wrong, the book title was satirical.
Oh, okay, all right.
Like, it was criticizing this sort of, like, toxic masculinity thing. Like, the book is, like, the point it's making is that, like, it's making fun of people who say, oh, I wouldn't eat quiche, only women eat quiche. Satirizing that point of view.
Okay, all right. It's from the 60s, so I couldn't be sure.
Yeah, sorry, it was published in the 80s, my bad.
Okay, alright. Yeah, if it was 60s, that might actually be serious, because that's some real Pink Scare era.
Yeah, but, like, it was a famous book at the time, and you would see a lot of, like, people riffing on that phrase.
Mm-hmm. But Spike does eat quiche, so here we go.
Yeah, and, I mean, to the author Bruce Feierstein's credit, it seemed to have worked. Like, that book is the only, like, time to my knowledge that quiche has been gendered.
Like, I can't believe quiche is non-binary.
Good for quiche.
Yeah.
Like everyone loves quiche now. Or at least, like, I have never heard anyone earnestly express the sentiment that quiche is for women.
Yeah.
Like, real talk here. My stepdad, who is a real piece of shit, dude sucks, but he's a real, like, toxic masculinity, manly man, oh, I gotta protect my wife, kind of asshole. And even he likes quiche.
Gotta protect my bitch wife.
I gotta protect my nagging wife.
Take my wife, and by that I mean to the bunker. She must be protected.
Don't take my wife. Motherfucker.
fuck. Garbage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I think the greatest trick humanity ever played on itself was thinking that fucking having an innie or an outie genitalia was a way to decide on what kind of food you were allowed to eat. What the fuck?
Yeah. Like, you still see guys, like, refuse to drink girly drinks or whatever.
Or, like, give women shit for drinking beer.
Yeah. Or, like, apparently when the book came out, like, a lot of guys missed the satire and would start refusing to eat quiche.
I mean, That is a real
yeah.
dude move to yeah. do.
Yeah, Poe's Law is real, etc., etc.
Yeah.
I wonder what's in a horse quiche, because a traditional quiche has bacon in it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you can make vegan or vegetarian quiche, you just don't put bacon in it, mm-hmm. but regardless.
Or you put some bacon in there, but then why would horses have bacon?
Yeah. it would be wild for ponies to invent soy bacon, even though they've never had regular bacon.
Right? God, there was a really good, like vegetarian restaurant I would go to sometimes, because they did a nice, like, BLT sandwich, but, like, it's bacon in there, so it's still vegetarian? Oh, it's good.
Yeah, bacon, lesbian, and tomato.
Yeah, me.
No, wait. What a nice tomato.
Bisexual, lesbians, and twinks. You know, the BLT.
Ah, yeah, the three food groups.
Oh, yeah. You can only be one of these three. Which one is it?
Bi lesbians exist, listeners. I know you know that, dear, but, yeah. you know, some people need that to be said.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, long story short, Spike eventually finds and descends upon a chicken to fight it and get into this, like, big ball of cartoon violence, to which the chicken just leaves.
Yeah.
And this tiny feather just kind of floats down onto Spike's nose, and he's like, aha, I got it. Well, why didn't you pluck the quail Pinkie Pie threw at you earlier?
I think because he was more in shock than anything else, but yeah.
Yeah, no, admittedly that would be weird.
Like, so here's the thing. Quail feathers can make good quills. Yeah. Chicken feathers don't really make good quills. They're a little short.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess. Especially because it's like a downy feather rather than like a wing feather, which is basically the ones you need for quills.
Yeah, or like a tail feather, which chickens don't really have, but...
depends on the bird. Like...
Yeah.
The thing is that, like... Because you want the large, like, reservoir space in it. And that's generally wing feathers. Like, flight feathers are generally sense. Have the really large... bases in there because there needs to be a lot of application of muscle against them.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Like, Pemka's tail feathers are actually, like, really slender and tiny, but, like, I bet her, like, outer flight feathers would probably make, like, decent, like, full quills. Like, adult quills, but, you know.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Oh, and Spike ran out of the library. Twilight was like, Spike, wait! But of course he doesn't hear.
Yeah.
And Spike, like, returns, holding this tiny feather up, and Twilight's like, Spike, I was trying to tell you, Aloysius gave me one of his feathers, like, I'm good.
Yeah.
And he's so mad he incinerates the feather.
Yeah. Now is about the time where Twilight should realize what's going on. Most of the time, she's extremely intuitive about this kind of shit. We compliment her about it quite often, even, that she's, like, the book nerd character who actually is, like, socially aware of people.
Yeah. And I can see how she would be like, oh, of course Spike's fine with it. And, yeah, that blinds her to it, and that's the lesson I think we are here to learn.
Yeah?
Yeah. Again, this is what Billy Joel was singing about, but regardless...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Spike is like, oh, well, are there any other chores to do, or did Aloysius do all of them? Which, yeah, Twilight should really pick up on, I agree.
Yeah, like, incinerating the feather should be where Twilight's already picked up on it. The fact that, like, Spike escalates and Twilight still doesn't get it? Oof.
Yeah, she's like, oh no, there are plenty of chores for you to do. And he's like, oh, well, I'll just stay up all night, and he falls asleep on the stairs.
Yeah. And, like... Twilight even says the thing of just being like, oh, he's such a dedicated assistant or whatever, like, compliments him even though he's, like, falling asleep in the middle of the stairs.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have done that before he fell asleep, Twilight, but whatever.
Yeah. And then when Spike wakes up, he's still on the stairs.
Yeah.
So I guess he hasn't been asleep that long. When Twilight throws the book in front of him and he makes this, like, really, like, weird-looking wake-up face, like, his eyes point in different directions, like,
Yeah. Yeah, Spike did look like that.
I mean, nobody is looking their best when they are unexpectedly awoken. I get that.
Yeah. But, like, getting extremely wall-eyed when being woken up is a strange look.
And Twilight's like, Aloysius found the book, and right where it's supposed to be, but it looks like this. And, yeah. It's all incinerated and shitty looking inside. And she's all disappointed and mad at him, and he blames Aloysius for setting him up, even though, like, Spike, this... You did this before Aloysius even showed up.
Yeah. Like, I think he's accusing Aloysius because, like, he thought he had hidden it. And, like,
Aloysius... But he just found it right back where it was supposed to be.
Okay, yeah, but he's an idiot, baby dragon. As much as we love him. Damn. He's not right.
I get it, right? Like, Spike is in full look-at-this-bitch-eating-crackers mode with Aloysius. Like,
yeah.
He is going to blame him for everything that goes wrong, regardless of whether or not it's actually Aloysius' fault.
I don't know if you know this, but owls do be hootin'.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. He's just, like, full-on undermining any trust that Twilight has with him now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, it's not a good look.
Yeah, and the rest of the episode is a little hard to watch, because it's Spike spiraling, basically.
Yeah.
And it's him digging himself deeper. Though we do get Spike hatching a scheme.
Yes.
And to enact his scheme, he puts on a top hat, a cloak, and a little mustache. He goes full Snidely Whiplash. Spikely Whiplash, if you will.
Snidely Whip Spike? Spike Lash. Snidely Spike Lash. Do you like that one more, or is it Spikely Whiplash?
Because, like, Spikely sounds like Snidely, right?
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, yeah, we've tried a few iterations. You hit it good from the start. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. I appreciate workshopping on it.
Yeah.
It.
Sometimes the workshopping gets good options, sometimes it doesn't. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's what workshopping does.
You have to try.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never know unless you try.
Yeah.
And then... So then Spike waits for Rarity and Opal to leave the Carousel Boutique to go to Fluttershy's tea party. And Spike walks into the Carousel Boutique, steals Opal's, like, plush mouse...
Yeah.
Dangles it by the tail and everything.
Very good.
And his plan here doesn't really make any sense because, like, so he sees, like, a mouse, like a regular, like, white mouse running around. He's like, I have an idea. And
yeah.
Opal's mouse is, like, purple with button eyes and, like, a blue patch on the back.
Yeah.
It does not look at all like a real mouse.
Yeah, like, it's full of stuffing, my dude.
Yeah. And so Spike, like, you know, tears apart the plush mouse, lays on the floor of the library, covers it in ketchup.
Yeah.
Which, mind you, does imply that, like, the ponies do have blood somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't seen blood at all in any way, shape, or form, or even the implication of its existence, which does feel weird, actually.
Yeah, I guess, like, there's only so many ways you can confirm that without, like, losing your child-friendly rating.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It feels like they could have had, like, a little bit of... Like, there's been a few, like, especially the first two episodes, had some, like, actual fights in them. And there's been a few other ones along the way. Like, the idea of having, like, a little bit of a scratch with, like, a drop of blood hanging out of it is still, like, a pretty kid-friendly approach to... Mm-hmm. Implying someone is badly hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
But then Spike goes and, like, tears open a pillow and throws feathers around everywhere, which I'm not really sure what that's supposed to imply.
Because he doesn't seem to understand the difference between feathers, and he thinks that's going to implicate Aloysius rather than...
Because, yeah. Like, he doesn't understand that Aloysius isn't white, like... That these white feathers don't look anything like the brown feathers on Aloysius?
Yeah.
And then...
It's not a great plan.
And then, yeah, because then Twilight comes home, catches him in the act, with Aloysius on her back, which, again, it's the middle of the day, why isn't he asleep?
Right?
But also, Spike, you know Aloysius is with Twilight, you know he has an alibi!
Yeah.
And also, like, why would Twilight punish him for this? Yeah. Like, he's an owl. You, like, Spike's whole plan here is that, oh, owls eat mice, therefore Twilight will blame Aloysius for this, but, like, I don't know, you don't get mad at a cat when it does this, right? Like, that's just what they do.
I mean, I get frustrated in the moment, but more of a, like, oh, goddammit. Like,
yeah, like, it doesn't make any sense to punish. Yeah. Like, that's just what they do, right? Like, would you get mad at the ocean for having fish in it? Like,
no, like, I will have exactly 2 seconds of, oh, goddammit, frustration when, like, Pemka poops on me or whatever while we're recording, and, you know, whatever, like.
Yeah, because, like, oh, damn it, I gotta clean this up. It's frustrating, but, like, you don't punish the animal for it because they don't understand what they did was wrong.
Yeah, they just did a thing that is normal to them because, like, it's a small animal. It doesn't understand, like, social contracts.
Yeah. Like,
owls do not live in a society, baby. There is no owl joker.
Yeah, like, like, there's so many layers to Spike's plan. It's weird that he ever thought it would work. Like, he clearly thinks that this is very lifelike, but, like, that's not, it's clearly a plush mouse.
With ketchup splashed on it.
Yeah, like, it's clearly a plush mouse. These are clearly the wrong kind of feathers. Also, Twilight catches him in the act, and also Aloysius has an alibi.
Also, when he's tearing the feathers out of the pillow, like, he is leaving red footprints because he stepped in the ketchup.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, like, Twilight walks into him while he's doing this in his top hat and cape.
Yeah, and his little crime mustache, and, like,
to his credit, though, he does dash away, hide the costume, dash back, and then try and sell it anyway. And
yeah,
I gotta, like, commend the dedication.
Yeah, you might as well try, though Twilight is probably correctly insulted that, like, Spike, A, you, she even says, like, Spike, I don't know if I'm more disappointed in you for trying to frame Aloysius or this, like, incredibly transparent attempt.
Yeah.
Because there's so many layers in which this doesn't work. It's kind of impressive.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Like, Spike would have been better off just, like, making a mess in the library and trying to blame Aloysius. That wouldn't have worked either, because Aloysius has an alibi of being with Twilight, which you would have known, Spike.
Yeah, he wasn't there.
But Twilight is mad at Spike. She's angry and disappointed at Spike. And he concludes that Twilight doesn't love him anymore.
Which, like,
bit of a leap.
A little, but not as much as the show seems to try and say it is. Like,
yeah, like, Spike's been really insecure for a long time.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And, like, been, like, directly saying it in front of her, and she's just been ignoring it.
Yeah, like as Billy, I'm sorry I keep referencing this Billy Joel song, but it's very relevant here. He even says, when you're in love, you're always insecure, and there's only one good way to reassure. Tell her about it.
Yeah, do it, nerds. But also, like, it would be one thing if she, like, acknowledged to his face he was doing it, and then, like, just brushed it off. But, like, she doesn't even acknowledge that it's happening until, like, this scene where she's like, you're letting your jealousy, like, make you be a shitty person.
Yeah.
And, like, that's her entire addition to this, not acknowledging, like, not addressing why he's jealous. Like, Twilight, you know what's wrong. Do something about it.
Yeah, at what point did you figure out that Spike is jealous? Because last time we heard from you, you thought he was fine.
Yeah.
At what point did you realize this and not say anything about it?
Or, like, address it at all. Until, like, it got to the point where you were just like, I'm in the middle of scolding you, and also, I'm just gonna say that you're being jealous, which, like, from looking at this from Spike's point of view, like, cool, Twilight's just known he's felt this way this whole time, and just didn't care enough to talk to him about it, so clearly she thinks it's fine that he's just feeling jealous, and that, like, Aloysius is just being a better assistant.
Yeah.
Like,
And yeah, and like, it's reasonable for Spike to conclude like, oh, like she doesn't want to be around me anymore. Like, yeah, we had this whole conflict. I should just leave.
Yeah. So he gets all his shit in a bindle, and
yeah, because it's the episode acts like Spike is in the wrong here, but a lot of the blame falls on Twilight.
Yeah,
like yeah, Spike did let his shitty jealousy brain like get to him, but he's also a baby and he's making some bad decisions, and Twilight should have seen this coming and intercepted it, IMO.
Yeah, like yeah. I'm not saying Spike is, like, completely free of blame or anything.
Yeah, but like, he certainly, like, did some things that were not healthy to do. He certainly made some mistakes.
But yeah, like, Twilight should have seen this and done something about it. She is the adult in the room who, like, can understand both the people present. Because
yeah.
Spike can't talk to Aloysius, and it's debatable if Aloysius can understand what Spike's saying.
Yeah. Like, Aloysius seems to be able to understand Twilight, because, like, she can ask for a specific book, and Aloysius will get it for her.
Yeah.
So, I assume Aloysius understands what Spike is saying, but, you know, he can only hoot back.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, he seems to be sort of, at best, on the sort of Angel Bunny level of things, where he understands what's going on, but, like, is limited in his ability to respond.
Yeah. Yeah.
But regardless, Spike, like, packs up his bindle and runs away, and he's like, well, at least he's, like, in the Everfree Forest or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The Everfree Forest?
Oh,
and,
no.
Yeah, he's got his bindle, and, he's like, oh, well, it can't get any worse, and then, of course, lightning strikes, and it starts raining.
I do appreciate that this episode did foreshadowing, though, because, like, the ketchup footprints back in the actual, like, library itself, and then we see him leaving ketchup footprints, like, in a small bit here before like the rain starts, which should have washed away all the ketchup footprints in hindsight, but you know.
Well, he is walking on dirt. I can see the, like, if it was on asphalt or something, absolutely, but I don't know, ketchup's sticky and yeah, I imagine it would kind of sink in.
Yeah, but if it's raining, like, all that dirt's just going to turn to mud?
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Which the ketchup is just going to get mixed into.
Yeah, and they do, like, cleverly, like, shoot him from the waist up.
Yeah. Like, you only get one shot of him leaving the ketchup footprints, and then, yeah, it's pretty much waist up from there on in.
Though, once he's in the cave, it seems to have worn off.
Yeah.
We do see the bottom of his feet while he's in there, and they're clean, but whatever. Fair enough.
We're on Spike Feet Watch, understood?
Feet Foot Watch 2022. Have you seen any feet lately?
No, they're all hooves.
Damn.
Damn hooves I'm everywhere.
I'm elevating us to Foot Watch level blue. We may be experiencing dire foot shortage.
It's blue balls, but for feet, I understand.
Yeah, the blue balls of your feet.
Ah! Ah! Man, how did I not hit that joke? I was like one... I was sentence structure away from making that joke accidentally. God damn it.
Yeah, I was afraid you were going to say that's what you were going for.
No, I will admit my failing in not having thought about that, even though it was a very good joke.
If I have posted further, it is because I have stood on the shoulders of beans.
I mean... Yeah. Sometimes you need to make sure you lift it up so you can see in a window.
Yeah. But Spike's, like, when the lightning strikes, or, well, when the thunder claps, I suppose, Spike's, like, sort of tensed up face, where, like one fang pokes out his tail and his, like, head spikes stand up and everything, he tenses up. That was a picture you saw around a lot back in the day.
Really?
Like, it seems very familiar to me.
Like, I don't doubt it. It just seems like such an interesting frame for the fandom to have caught onto, you know?
Yeah, like, I'm trying to, like, think of the context it would be in. I can't seem to find anything, but, like, this image is burned into my brain, so and what usually happens when, like, I have seen an image, like, you know, posted independently in the past.
So, I think... like, thinking about what he looked like, a more modern equivalent of it would probably be, like, saying, yikes, hard cringe.
Yeah. Like, devoid of context, Spike is cringing here.
Yeah. Oh, man. Friends, we still have an entire, like, major episode bead to hit still.
Mm-hmm.
We've been hitting that sidetrack real hard.
Yeah, we've been enjoying ourselves.
Yeah. Talking about the BJs.
Yeah. We've been spending a lot of time in PG's BJC.
fuck.
For short. Because we talk about it so much, obviously.
Obviously.
But, long story short, Spike finds a cave to take shelter from the storm in.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just full of gems, and he eats a bunch of them. And, yeah, this big old dragon shows up, and he's like, why are you eating my gems? And Spike's like, oh, hey, Abu? Like, he knows this guy?
Oh, I think he was going for just, like, just, like, hey, buddy, like, to... Like, pretty much all his responses to this dragon being threatening have just been like, hey, we're both dragons. Like, this isn't a problem. Don't mind me, my dude. I'm just gonna leave. I showed up and ate some of your gems and left. I'm sorry. Oh, God.
Fair enough. I always read it as him, like, greeting this guy by name.
Really?
Because he says, like, hey, Abu.
Like, hey, bro. I didn't mean to cause any trouble.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Okay, so I guess I'm willing to believe he said, hey, bro.
Yeah, and that's how Spike do a talk.
Yeah, given that I think he calls this guy, like, hey, we're like brothers, right? We're both dragons.
Yeah, we're both dragons. We don't need to cause any problems here.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, to be fair, this is the third dragon Spike has ever met. Like,
yeah.
To go back for a second, if he knew this dragon, he would know that this dragon was here.
He would know that this is his cave.
Yeah. He'd know that this is Abu's cave. So this, and like, he'd be acting differently. Like, the only time I've seen someone act this way about someone they know is like in a fucking, like, mafia movie when the, like, person coming to collect debts has shown up. And that's definitely not the vibe of this scene.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Also, it is just baffling with how the animators do gems in this, because it's just, like, a pile of vague blue shape with some random, like, geometric blocks of different colors slapped on top. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I can't believe this is the world we live in.
Yeah, I get that it's visual shorthand, and then, like, actually putting that many gems down would probably look really cluttered and distract and be a distracting background. But it does look weird if you just, like, look at a freeze frame.
I mean, I also kind of find it a distracting background because I'm looking at how bad the gems look.
Mm-hmm.
But that might just be artist brain coming in.
I mean, these are the same gems they use for everything.
Like, yeah, that's, and I don't like it at other times either. Like, yeah. I'm pretty sure I complained about exactly this with when we had the Diamond Dogs around.
Yeah, like, there's like five types of gems. There's like the blue ones, the red ones, the green ones, the orange ones, and the yellow ones or whatever, and the purple ones.
Yeah.
And like, they just reuse like those over and over again.
Yeah. I think the thing that kills me so much with this is that, like, colored gems usually are in specific shapes. So if it was, like, the same sort of shaped blue gems and, like, the same sort of shaped red gems and, like,
yeah,
the different colored gems at least had, like, a consistent shape to them, that would actually look better.
Yeah, which they almost do, but there's, like, two different kinds of blue ones. Like, there's the stick-shaped blue ones and, like, the roundish blue ones.
Yeah. But, like, quite often, like, the purple and orange ones are also, like, sticky or, like, a triangle.
Yeah.
And they...
Or, like, they'll, like, kind of bury one in the ground, so it's just, like, the top part of this, the thing they already drew, but it looks like a different shape, like, because it's sticking out of the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish they had settled on a different way of doing shorthand for gems, because these gems look very bad. Like, also, they're all pre-cut. Why are all the gems cut? Why is every gem in this world cut?
Yeah. Like, they just come out of the ground like that, which has been established, but it's weird.
It's real weird. Like, I'd actually rather get, like geodes, where, like, they got, like, the chunky shape in the middle, but, like, not the weird spiky gems.
Mm-hmm.
We could have the kind of weird spiky gems, like, as, like, an actual cluster of just one color, and that would look better. Because then it would just be, like, this dragon found the rock like these gems were in and just picked up the entire fucking rock because like that it how yeah. gems do
yeah and like then you can have rarity part of rarity's thing be cutting the gems. Like you look at her cuter mark, you'd think like that would be something she's good at, but she never has to because gems come out of the ground cut and in this shape already.
Yeah, like that would make the Diamond Dog episode even better, because then it could then they'd be like, holy shit, she pulls gems out of the ground, and like as she's pulling them out of the ground, they become cut. Like, damn, that saves us so much time.
Yeah, like if she do a gem cutting spell or whatever.
Like, I'm just going for like she finds like she can find gems and like like pull them out of the dirt, and in doing that, they become cut. Like that'd be cool. That'd be Rarity having like an actually cool spell that like Twilight's copy of would just be she can detect lots of gems but can't do the cutting thing when she pulls them, which would still let them have the fun of Rarity's shit being unique, but like Twilight kind of being able to copy it, because like Twilight's the fucking god pony.
Yeah, but that would require them to, I guess, draw more gem shapes.
It wouldn't, because then Rarity could just, like, pull gems out in, like, the same cut shape. You just recolor the ones she pulls out, because that's just how her power works. And you just have to make some, like, raw gem shapes, which are super easy to draw.
Yeah, like, you already kind of have the spiky ones that look raw. Like, you have to put them together.
Yeah. Fucking. Anyway.
Yeah, grumble. So, Spike, like... Okay, he starts to run away, and then, like, you don't scare me, and tries to, like, blow some fire at the big boy.
Yeah.
And, he does, if you like, you know, weird, you know, in-between frames, Spike's very expressive in this episode. He has a very good, like, rearing up to blow fire frame.
Yeah.
Because his eyes get all weird and point the wrong direction, and...
Holy shit! Oh, fuck. I'm so glad you got the ability to pull these up on your phone. Oh, this helps so much.
Well, you keep it charged. It's the least I can do.
Yeah.
But speaking of, I'm gonna have to milk more magic out of you.
Okay.
Not now. Not now.
Okay. Okay.
Folks, this horse is so good to milk.
Oh, God. There's... This frame you have pulled up, though, there is just something about Spike's butt in this that makes him look like he's just got a super dragon dump truck back there. Which is weird, because, like, it's a very, like, puffed-up chest, like, swollen, getting all that air in the lungs look instead. Fucking cursed.
Yeah, because it's, like, the way his, like, back spines go over... kind of over the curve of his butt, but also his tail goes out below him.
Yeah.
And it creates a sort of, like, ass shelf.
You could put an entire food, like, yeah, you could just put an entire food tray on that ass.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Like, you know the episode of the Winnie the Pooh cartoon where Pooh gets stuck in Rabbit's household wall, and, like, Rabbit just, like, puts a shelf on there and paints a face on it, and, like, it turns into a tasteful wall decoration?
Yeah.
You could do that with Spike's ass, but, like, you know, you could bounce a flower pot on there.
Yeah. Just put an entire book on there for Twilight to read. It's great.
Finally, with my new dragon ass shelf, I can store up to one book.
Oh, fuck. But yeah, Spike tries to breathe fire. It doesn't do much. Big dragon breathes fire. It singes all of Spike's spines because he tries to duck down.
Yeah. And then he gets cornered, but, like, You can see where the cave mouth is, Spike.
Yeah. Oh, I do appreciate that when he's first meeting this green dragon, which, for folks who remember the earlier episode where we met a red dragon that whose voice actor was uncredited, this is just a recolor of that dragon. But, like, when Spike first meets him, part of him's, like trying to suck up to this dragon to, like, not, you know, get in a fight about it. And he's like, oh, and your claws are so, like, big and sharp. And, like, the dragon's, like, claw hands twitch and, like, the claws just get twice as big. And Spike's like, and your tail is so, and just, like, just, it goes from, like, a normal, like, dragon-y looking tail to just, like, a fucking spiked mace as, like, the spines poke out of this thing. And he's like, Spikey? It's like, oh, yeah, bud. Stop Spike complimenting this dragon. He's getting more powerful every time you observe him.
Spike goes full kobold mode, and it does not help.
It does not help at all.
Yeah. And to be clear, for the folks at home who don't watch along, Spike, like, this dragon, like, puts his face right up against Spike, and Spike is not even as tall as this guy's head. Like, he does not even exceed the height of this guy's snout.
Yeah, like...
For you size difference perverts out there, I say as if I'm not one of them.
Yeah, consider, like, what'd be a good size for? Like, a baby potato would actually be a really good size comparison. Like, Spike is a baby potato if this fucking green dragon is a human.
Yeah. Like,
this dragon could eat multiple Spikes simultaneously.
Yeah. Perverts.
Right? we're bringing back the bus vor.
This is just regular vor. Like, a dragon eating, like, a kobold or something. Spike's a baby dragon, but, like, he is playing the part of kobold right now.
Yeah.
And, like, the dragon eating a smaller lizard-type situation is classic.
It really is.
That's vor 101.
Yeah. I can't believe we're bringing Bendy Bus Vor back to the dragon roots in which its origin came.
You know, Bendy Bus Vor, this is like that, but it's lizards.
Yeah. Yeah.
guy who's only ever been on board Bendy Bus's voice, I'm getting a lot of getting out of buzz buys from this.
Right? Shit.
But... So Spike gets cornered somehow. He runs to this dragon's legs and gets him kind of cornered. But then Aloysius shows up and, like, kicks this dragon's ass.
Yeah.
Like, Aloysius kicks this guy several times in the face and, like, gets him to bonk himself over the head with his own tail.
Yeah, it's not even a bonk. It's full on, like, one of the spikes gets, like,
stuck in his head.
Wedged in. Yeah. Like, he has to, like, pull to get the spike out, which is impressive.
Seems like that pierced through to your brain, my guy. Ow.
Yeah. But while he's trying to pull to get the spike out, Twilight showed him to get Spike out.
Oh.
Ah, set up a good joke that time.
Yeah. Cinematic parallels.
Huh. I don't think it was intended by the show, but yeah.
That sounds like a theme here, which is about getting spikes out of things.
Yeah, a little bit, huh?
The thing about spikes is that they're always leaving places. Yeah, Spike, like, runs and jumps on Twilight's back. The dragon is chasing them. They get away.
Twilight even complains about not being able to see because it's in the middle of the night in the Everfree Forest now. And, like, Aloysius just, like, shows up in front of her and like, flies in a cool little bit of animation to guide her around all the, like, trees and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good little teamwork bit of episode.
Yeah, friendship really is magic.
Yeah.
And then they have their heart-to-heart. Yeah, Twilight's like, Spike, we were worried about you. Why'd you run away? And Spike's like, I thought you didn't love me anymore. Like, you know, I thought I was being replaced or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, Twilight apologizes. Spike apologizes. And then...
Fucking Aloysius just hoots once. It's the whole thing.
Yeah, then Spike apologizes to Aloysius. And Aloysius is like, who? And Spike, like, looks at Twilight and is like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah.
And
Twilight's like, he forgives you.
Yeah, but Twilight doesn't, like, pick up on... Sprite doesn't understand... Twilight sees that Sprite doesn't understand what Aloysius is saying, but she doesn't, like, seem to pick up on, like... this?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Sprite's like, I'm sorry for framing you, Aloysius. I shouldn't have been jealous. But the ketchup looked pretty real, though, right? Or, like, they had the conversation about they tracked Spike's ketchup footprints.
Yeah. Yeah, Spike really wanted that whole ketchup scene to look good.
Yeah, and Twilight just kind of, she has this, like, very cute, like, baffled expression, like, what do you, no, it didn't, Spike, like, don't push your luck.
God, fucking, yeah.
And then...
Hildebrand, your dress was not a disguise. Very, same face, same energy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then Twilight's writing her letter to Celestia, and she's like, no, Spike, you learned a lesson this time. You should write the letter to Celestia, which is our very first, like, non-Twilight letter.
Yeah. I do kind of enjoy the energy of, like, hey, Spike, you fucked up today. You should be the one to tell Celestia what happened.
Yeah.
I didn't fuck up today.
Well, she kind of did, but in a way that's harder to... In a way that's, like, harder to elaborate. Like, Spike was the point of view here.
So what you're telling me here is... Celestia gets two letters, one written by Spike, the other one that is just the lyrics to the fucking BJ song. Oh, fuck.
Dear Princess Celestia, today I learned what Billy Joel sang about all those years ago. Now, I know you don't know who that is, but...
Okay, correction. She gets sent a letter from Spike and a Billy Joel vinyl. Oh, no. See, the thing is, now I'm imagining Celestia, like, you have Luna with, like, the vinyl on her horn, so it's spinning, and Celestia's very long horn, like, poking down on it as the reader head, and that is how the vinyl is being played. When your princesses can play music.
I mean, it has some relevance to Celestia and Luna's whole situation, right? Like, Luna was also jealous about Pody's being asleep at night, or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, maybe that was a problem that could have been solved with some conversation. Maybe Princess Luna and Celestia also needed a visit to Princess Grace's BJC.
I mean, from a comic we talked about a long time ago, Luna visiting the BJC would probably be... I mean, she'd want to go to the other one first.
Yeah,
and get some lessons.
Yeah, she needs both. Like, she needs both instruction in both blowjobs and Billy Joel.
Yeah.
So, it's a BJ situation.
Mm-hmm.
Both
corners. Do not give Billy Joel a blowjob, though.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure he would enjoy it, but also, he is 73 years old.
Oh, damn. I kind of assumed he wasn't even around anymore, but yeah, fair.
No, also, he's married, so, like...
All right, yeah, no, we got multiple angles in which leave that boy's genitals alone.
Yeah. Billy Joel, I know you're listening.
If you want to come on the podcast.
Yeah, I know you would love to be hit by a horse truck. Email us at bj@eastsky.horse, and yeah. We could read your letter on the air, or you could come, and it would be a great honor to have you in my Billy Joel corner.
Oh, no. Oh, this might be an episode you have to record without me. I don't think I could not be giggling the whole time.
We would record a special guest episode with me, Graceful Spark, and my special guest, the Spilled Bill.
No, you do not have Spilled Bill in the BJ corner. No, that's not the right choice. He's married! He's old and married, Grace! We talked about this!
We spent the whole time trying to keep him in the Billy Joel corner and trying to, like, strategically position ourselves so he does not see the other BJ corner.
Yeah.
I mean...
I will just always be standing in front of it, it's fine.
I mean... Billy Joel has, like, gone by BJ before. Like, in the music video for Tell Her About It, he's introduced as BJ and the Affordables.
Ah, oh, good. I love an affordable BJ.
Yeah. You don't have to spend a lot to get a good blowjob.
Yeah. But you do have to spend it a lot to get a good Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Dear Princess Celestia, we found our moral.
he doesn't perform cheap these days, I imagine.
Yeah.
Billy Joel, I'll give you $50 if you show up on our podcast.
Yeah. So talking about making a better version of this episode, now that we're finally here,
as we enter Spark and Bean's better journey, or BJ.
Fuck! We cannot keep having BJs on the podcast.
Yeah, we should do that afterwards.
Right? Like, the thing that comes to mind for me to, like, one, I think having Twilight actually acknowledge that Spike is being jealous, or, like, have him try and bring it up and her, like, actively brush it off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, having that being a thing would have probably helped this feel like it wasn't just the episode shitting on Spike.
Yeah, because at the end here, during our big thing, Spike, like, Twilight explains to Spike that Aloysius is nocturnal and that he'll only be there during the night shift. But then why is he still around during the day all the time, Twilight?
Right? Like that. Exactly. Like, it could have been Aloysius is around during the night and we, like, have, like, maybe a day or two where Spike and Aloysius are, like, it, like, Spike's like, okay, no, this is actually pretty good. And then it's like, Spike wakes up and, like, Aloysius is just going to bed, but, like, Aloysius has done chores, like, Spike likes doing. Like, some, like, whatever favorite task Spike likes doing. We could, like, introduce it at the start of the episode. So then when, like, he goes to do it, Aloysius has already done it, and, like, Aloysius made breakfast for Twilight before going to bed, but didn't make breakfast for Spike. Like, Aloysius started doing some of the chores in a way that feels malicious against Spike, but more of just, like, Aloysius is there to help Twilight, so it makes food for Twilight, because he's an owl.
You know, Aloysius, like, makes Spike's cookies that he really likes, or whatever. He finds the recipe for Spike's super-duper triple-nut whatevers.
Yeah.
And that feels threatening to Spike, because that's a specialty.
Exactly, right? Like, and then having, like, Spike trying to fuck with Aloysius by, like, keeping him awake and stuff, so that Aloysius, like, has a bad night, and Twilight only sees Spike harassing Aloysius rather than, like, the perceived slights Aloysius is doing. So that's why Twilight gets annoyed at him?
Yeah, because that's some of the weaknesses of the episode is, like, one, Spike doesn't understand how owls work, and you can't blame him, because if the whole point is that Aloysius is Twilight's nighttime helper while Spike is asleep, why does he keep being around during the day?
Yeah.
And, like, Spike's attempt to get back at Aloysius, why would anyone think that would work?
Mm-hmm. And, like, Rarity's fucking bow? Just, no, don't. Like, the only, like, at least giving Aloysius one, no. But, like, have Spike find Aloysius, like, napping with the bow on? Because, like, Aloysius has just, like, put it on or something? I don't know, whatever. But have him assume, like, Twilight gave Aloysius the bow instead? So, like, you can have the, like, bad communication that this episode has, but have, like, better causes for that broken communication?
Yeah.
Rather than just, like, Spike being blatantly jealous, other ponies being like, damn, Spike probably feels jealous right now, and Twilight being like, no.
Like, you could even keep up the joke and have, like, Spike comes across Aloysius with the bow, he assumes that Aloysius stole his bow, and then later we get Rarity saying, like, oh, no, darling, I have a box of these. Do you want them? Fashion Pants canceled his order and I can't get rid of the things.
Alternatively, like, Spike, I made you a bow. And, like, Aloysius is also, like, being, like, is helping out Twilight. So I just, like, made him one, too. Because, like, I had some spare material lying around.
Yeah, that doesn't reduce your thing. You know, it would be a good lesson.
Possibly an even slightly better angle on that of Rarity just being like, yeah, I'd made one, I wasn't super happy with it, so I made another one and gave that to you, because, like, the one I gave you is bigger. So, like, and, like, just, and then have Spike, like, actually look at the two of them and be like, damn, you're right, Aloysius is smaller, and, like, that's the first one that came out that Rarity wasn't happy with.
Yeah, and, you know, it was too small for you, but Aloysius came along, he was the right size, so, you know, everyone wins. I hope that didn't make my gift to you feel more feel less special.
Yeah. It was here, I would, like, I didn't want to have to tear it apart for materials, like, there was someone who would fit. I figured you'd like having your, like, deputy assistant having the same, like, outfit as you, because that's fun, right?
Yeah.
She's Rarity. She's fucking Rarity the fashion pony. Having matching outfits is a thing.
Yeah, I thought it would look, it would be fun. Like, you have, like, your little assistant bow ties. I didn't realize that would be a sticking point.
Like, yeah, like, there are ways that other ponies in this episode, without even changing the episode much, could learn this lesson as well.
Yeah.
Like, oh. This is, I think, one of the closest episodes to, like, you wouldn't even need to change stuff. You might just need to change some of the, like, actual spoken writing for some of the scenes, and you get better results out of it.
Yeah, like, I would want, like, one more conversation between Spike and Rarity.
Yeah.
Instead of him sneaking into the Carousel Boutique, like, I don't know, we get Spike helping Rarity out with something. Like, you have Spike, like, feeling unappreciated with Twilight, goes off to help Rarity, you know, be pincushion for her or whatever, and he vents about this, and when Rarity's like, oh, no, darling, like, you know, I had that left over, and I thought it would be cute if you matched. I hope it didn't seem like he was replacing you, or, like, it was reducing the specialness of my gift.
Yeah, like, God, that would be better than this whole, like, fucking green dragon cave at the end is like,
yeah,
Twilight doesn't love me anymore, so he just, like, goes to help Rarity, and Rarity's like, oh cool, Spike's here to help, and, like, just doesn't ask about what's going on between him and Twilight, she just doesn't know, and, like, have that conversation you just mentioned, like, come up between them, and, like, that is the start of Spike being like, wait a second, I've understood this wrong, and having Rarity show up and be the force of, like, hey, Spike and Twilight, you really fucking need to have a talk, just like Billy Joel says.
Yeah, and even, like, because, like, Rarity was there for the conversation earlier. She saw Spike storm off.
Yeah.
And so she sees Spike show up, doesn't think anything of it at first, but eventually she puts two and two together.
Yeah.
That would be really nice.
Applejack gets to say a single, like, sentence, you know?
Yeah.
This, like, could be a good episode.
Maybe the element of honesty should say something like, well, it's like Billy Joel says, you should be honest about your feelings.
I think I know what the episode title is, and I'm fucking horrified. Because people are going to hear the Billy Joel bit at the start and be like, wow, they named this episode after something at the start, huh? Maybe this episode isn't that good. And then we'll get to the end of it, and it's like, oh, this is why they named it the Billy Joel episode. Fucking hell. God, fuck.
I would love to hear Applejack stay. Maybe I should fuck kind of dip. I don't know, maybe I shouldn't, like, bring, you know, those AI character line generators, because that feels like a slippery slope to bring into this world where these people are real.
Yeah.
But, like, it would be very funny if Applejack's like, well, you know what Billy Joel says about this?
Oh, yeah. God, I think a lot about those, like, that one game that, like, reconstructed the voice actor for Geralt of Rivia to, like, be able to fake line. Mm. Man, human world has a lot of weird problems around capitalism and creativity, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Good thing we are talking about a show made by Hasbro.
It's a good thing we don't live in a toy commercial.
Right? So good. Oh, fuck. What an episode. Like, all said and done, there were some good goofs along the way. And an owl that was being kept awake way too fucking long. No musical number, which, I mean, I know me when I first watched this show would think was a good thing, but no, you know what? I kind of wanted Spike to have, like, a little emotional, like, song about feeling dejected.
Yeah. You know, let him get a little number about, a little runaway from home number or something, you know?
Yeah. Maybe a little less of the repeated scenes of just look at how good this owl is of being an assistant during the middle of the day, and give him like an extra minute, and just have like a little song about him like packing and going to Rarities. I don't know.
Yeah, that would have been really nice to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one is like so close to being good. I mean, it's good. It's a pretty good episode. It's not the worst, but
yeah. Yeah. It's not an amazingly good episode, but it's definitely not like a bad episode at all. We've seen some bad episodes. We've lived through some really bad ones. But like, this is a pretty solid like B. It's an episode that does its thing. Just wish they did it better and fucking let that owl sleep.
Yeah, like, again, that's the thing that really bugs me, is, like, if the whole point is that Spike shouldn't be jealous of Aloysius because Aloysius is nocturnal, and, you know, can't really replace Spike, then why does he keep being awake during the day?
Yeah. I am reminded of, like, some of those people who are, like, you know, kind of rich, so just have the money to leave, like, a camera running in their backyard the whole time to, like, record mm-hmm. wildlife or whatever. Because they... The one I'm thinking of was a person who'd set up a camera around, like, a nest box they had made because they had an owl that had gotten into the nest box. Like, that mm-hmm. it was an mm-hmm. owl nest. But the thing I found funny was just, like, the video that was posted was not during night. It was during the evening where, like, just a group of, like, six blue jays were just, like, sitting on the fence, like, right outside this nest box and just screaming at it. Because they knew they could fucking harass the owl and keep it awake so that it wouldn't get good sleep. And just, like, it was actually kind of funny because, like, by the time the last one left, there was, like, it left, and then about 5 minutes later, the owl came out of the nest box. So, like, damn, that guy ditched just the right time. If he'd stuck around any longer, that owl would have had him as a snack. Birds are very smart. I love birds. Isn't that
birds
right, Ken?
Good.
I woke her up while she was napping over on the cage. Aww. I feel bad now.
Bird good.
Yeah.
Okay, Billy Joel, if you do want... I've been looking at, like, a list of
Smart
apples.
Please.
So that... in order to, like, complete the bit of, like... Well, you know what Cousin Baffert Wonder always says? Tell her about it. So, Billy Joel, if you do want to get hit by a horse trope, we already have a name ready for you. You could be Baffert Wonder, which is apparently a very large, vigorous type of apple tree from 1893.
I don't know if I would ever describe a tree as vigorous, but all right.
Yeah, I mean, it could be worse. It could be Cousin Bushy Grove.
She lives out on a hippie commune. It's fine. Don't worry about it. She's living her best life. Do not ask to visit.
You do not want to see Cousin... I'm not looking at it anymore. I'm going to say the wrong thing if I guess.
Yeah.
Cousin Bushy Shrub. Cousin Unkempt Bush.
Not so welcome in the other BJ corner, I'm sorry to say.
No. Do some marescaping beforehand, alright?
Yeah, look, no one wants to be on either end of the situation where a hair gets stuck between a tooth while things are going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Seemed like the least you can do to your, BJ partner.
Yeah.
And by that I mean someone to help you when you're doing a...
When you're trying to understand some...
Scenes from an Italian restaurant on a duet.
Ah, excellent. Yeah, perfect. Never mind me. I'm gonna shut up. Anyway.
Sorry, dear. It just took me a second to remember my go-to karaoke song, because it's been a while. We should go do a marioke.
Yeah, marioke does sound good.
Yeah.
Is this you saying that it's horse?
I think that's horse.
That is horse, baby.
Truly? We were hit by a horse truck and got Eastgard into Equestria?
Wow,
I
both,
have
huh?
been. Ponyville's beloved, Graceful Spark. You can find my writing, programs, podcast posts, and everything else is fit to plug at princess.software. Beans, darling, where can we find you?
I'm the one that's running the Horse Isekai Twitter account. You can find me over there. I know when we put out the last episode, I think I figured out how to get images off the phone that Spark has onto Twitter. It's weird, but I think I got it figured out. So,
yeah, no,
look forward to that. We'll be seeing some of those, I hope.
Yeah, no, it takes some effort to push these across the barrier, but you know, they usually go over with the episode.
Yeah, my horn can take it, apparently. But yeah, if you want to find parts of my brain that aren't stuck here on Equestria, it would be Draco's Art, DRAEKOS.ART.
Bye!
Goodbye! Mwah.